I am an American. No, I don't want pity. In the long story of our experiment in self-government, the world's pity has taken the place of admiration, hostility, awe, envy, fear, affection, and repulsion. Pity is more painful than any of these. And after pity comes indifference, which would be intolerable. I know a woman who said of her own husband and children, "They're not the people I'd choose to be quarantined with." Are my fellow citizens the people I'd choose to be quarantined with? Well, there's no choice. They're mine, and I'm theirs. During the time of separation, we Americans, with our dollars and easy smiles and loud voices, have not been welcome abroad. U.S. passports, once worth stealing, are no good. Formerly mobile, we've been trapped with ourselves and one another. A lot of Americans have explored their options for expatriation. A deceased Irish grandfather, a suddenly promising Canadian girlfriend, an open invitation from the government of Ghana, a loophole in New Zealand's citizenship law. As for me, I'm staying put. And not just because these exit strategies are not available to me. I want to see how it all turns out. For my children, if not myself. Whether a huge, multi-everything democracy can survive or will perish from the earth is a matter of interest, and not only for us. The virus gave us this one gift. It interrupted us. The mask wearing, the grocery wiping, the regretted handshake, the risk in this muffled person headed my way on the sidewalk. It became impossible to pass through the world in the normal bovine manner. The virus forced us to look at ourselves and for once pay the kind of attention that we've always taken for granted from others. I don't mean the image check of a teenager glancing at a smartphone screen or store window. This attention is a long, middle-aged stare in the mirror at a face rising from a dark background. It's not the face I expect to see. Vertical etchings under the cheekbones, the color of exhaustion around the eyes, what's left of the hair badly in need of professional organizing. Instead of the calm wisdom expected by now, there's an expression of uncertainty, a hint of muted panic. The stare brings a shock of estrangement. Don't look too long, or I'll stop knowing who this is. The time of separation made us strangers, not just to one another, but also to ourselves. A young girl told her parents that she felt unreal. She wanted to stay in bed so that it would all seem like a bad dream from which she'd wake up. And when we do, when we finally come out of hiding and take off our masks, we will ask, who are we? What's happened to us? Is this the beginning of the end or a new beginning? What do we do now? In 1838, Abraham Lincoln, an unknown 28-year-old state legislator, gave a speech in Springfield, Illinois on the perpetuation of our political institutions. A quarter century before he led the country through its first near-death experience, Lincoln asked, "How might American democracy die?" He predicted that no foreign conqueror at the head of a huge army would ever cross the Blue Ridge Mountains and drink from the Ohio River. "If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher," Lincoln said. "As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide." One night, my headlights caught a rectangular flash of red on the roadside by the farm next door to where I'm writing this, in the house where we were lucky to escape the plague. 5 white letters stretched across a sign, or signs, for there were 2, one planted by the goat pasture's wire fence, another across the road along the hayed field. The blaring shade of that red instantly told me what the 5 letters said. 2 weeks before the election, our neighbors decided to make their preference known, as was their democratic right. They've lived here a whole lot longer than we have. The husband had just dropped off 2 bales of hay that I needed to mulch fall grass seed. Their daughter often sets aside 2 dozen eggs for us in her roadside farm stand. My wife baked a tray of muffins when the other wife was sick. We all want to be good neighbors. But the headlights caught something dark, baleful. The sight made me shudder. And for a second, I imagined an evil shape in a far more serious red and black. I pushed the image away. Don't exaggerate. But what if we were living in another time and country? Then wasn't it thinkable? How long could any hateful ruler stay in power without the approval of good neighbors?
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.